You're listening to the SoPod Network, and this is Big Swings. Big swings aren't just for the golf course. They're the bold moves that shape careers, communities, and culture. That's why we teamed up with three-time world-long drive champion Alexis Belton to talk with leaders across industries who know what it means to take a big swing. They've chased opportunity, embraced uncertainty, and kept curiosity at the center of how they grow. Here's Alexis's conversation with former NFL All-Pro linebacker Takiyo Spikes.
Thanks. Hold on. I'm so good to see you.
Yeah.
So much fun.
It is.
I feel like every single time I have an opportunity to be around you, you exude joy.
I receive that, like straight up, because, you know, life, when you walk out of the door and you get through your daily routine, like somebody is always trying to bring you down, right? So for me, I've always learned to be positive, and you probably won't meet another person, only the special ones, as optimistic as I am. I was always taught, if you believe you can do it, you can achieve. And so from that mindset, that's what when I walk out of the house, that's what I think of every day.
So I know you've done so many things in career, NFL, author, photographer. Talk to me about first chapter of your life book. 7 years old in Augusta, Georgia. Kind of paint the picture of what that was like growing up there. And what did you believe that you could be?
Honestly, going back to when I was born in Augusta, and, because when you grow up in the rural towns right on the outside, Sandersville, Washington County, where I was raised.
And most people know Augusta for the golf.
Yeah.
What is Augusta when the Masters is not there?
Crazy. We were always told, where I'm from, is like, look, stay out of the city, you know, stay in your own area because it's crazy. You can't maneuver around. Unless if you want an egg sandwich. If you want that joint, you definitely go up there and find your way. But it was prestigious. And, you know, for a kid growing up, you know, be honest with you, just as a black kid, you grow up and you think, oh, man, that ain't for us. And you really don't have anybody or see any examples at that time. Like, man, it's for everybody. You know, just because the majority of white people play it doesn't mean that it's not for you. Put a club in your hand. You know, I didn't have anybody to do that, but now I'm all in.
You started with the football. Look at Master shirt and all. You started with the football. When did football take over your life?
It took over when I found out that I couldn't play basketball. That's when it took
over. Too short?
It wasn't even that. I was the last one to get picked on the court all the time. I thought I was good, though. Still kind of hurts me.
I mean, to your point, though, if you believe, you can do anything. Michael Jordan, he was the last to be picked.
Yeah, but
you can still get back in it.
He had some growth spurt and probably something else, too. His mama prayed maybe a little bit different than my mom. But I would say this, that defining moment for me happened when I was on the court and we didn't have enough to really play a full game of basketball. So we decided to play in the street, like, you know, our version of rugby, tackle a man with the ball in the street. Dumb. I don't even know why we even did it. But I remember seeing wide receivers in the NFL, they would catch the ball and have the, you know, we call it the toe drag swag and have the feet inbound. And I did that on the street, on the asphalt. I remember reaching out, making the catch. And when I made that catch, when I turned around and looked at everybody else, they was like, man, Spikes can play football just off of that one catch. But the point is, it was the gratification that came behind it and the belief of just receiving a compliment from somebody saying, you can play because you did one thing well, and I became addicted. And so I just bought into the fact of, man, maybe I can do this. And I love the game, and I just started watching it all the time.
What was it like growing up in Washington County with a football and a dream.
Simplistic in Washington County. And you didn't necessarily have like a plethora of like great examples of what you could be. You know, it's like that everywhere. Doesn't matter, small, big, wherever you're from. But I had enough. And I had the right people around me to guide me and keep me on a good path of being focused. And so, you know, what was it like? It was awesome. I would not trade my livelihood or my lifetime as a kid for anything. The reason why is because I learned one of the greatest assets that I do or that I bring to the table when I meet people all the time is me being personable. Me having an understanding of how to read the room. Me understanding that, you know, authenticity wins. Regardless of whatever you may try to display, like, if you're authentic, you got a chance. And so that's what my childhood really brought for me growing up in Washington County. And it really just taught me how to be, learn how to interact with people, even if you don't look like me. You know what I mean? Like, it taught me empathy. Because, you know, you see a certain demographic of people, they may go through something and you may see another demographic of people and you assume they don't go through nothing because they got money. But at the end of the day, one full circle moment is like we all bleed the same. We all have the same thing that's called emotions. And so that's what it was like for me. And that's what I took from growing up in Washington County.
When did you know, at what point in your life did you know you would have a career in football?
In high school, I wasn't a dummy, but I always wanted to go to the NFL. And I wasn't a dummy, but I just did not like school. And this is coming from someone, my mother was an educator. So the moment that really hit me, new coaching staff came to the school and he was somebody who wasn't from that area. And he said, you could be whatever you want to be. And he gave me examples. And from the school that he came from, Coach Rick Tomberlin, he showed me examples of like guys who may look like me, guys who struggled at something, but they got better over the next 6 months. And he taught me progression. And he taught me if you come in every day with the work ethic and a plan in mind, being strategic, you too can have the same opportunity. And so that was the time, my 10th grade year, I could truly say like, man, I see other guys signing scholarships that I have not seen before. And I was like, okay, like I really can do this.
In the last pages of this book, you kind of speak on your journey in football. And one of my favorite quotes says, some people dream and some people wake up and work for it.
Yeah.
What are some of the values that you had in working for, whether that be 15-year career in the NFL or being on TV or writing books?
The biggest value that I took from that quote is consistency. Like some people dream of success and others wake up and work hard for it. And I was going to be that guy, period. And I felt like if you can do that, okay. Now it was an internal battle. One day, anybody can do one day. String together a week. Okay, I see I weeded out. I see those guys can't do a week. Let me do it for 2 weeks now. I saw a few guys more who couldn't do it. Now the weeks turned into months. The months turned into a half a year. Half a year turned into a year. And so for me, it was an internal battle. And so from doing that, like, honestly, that's what really took me to the next level. And that was the first time that I really understood what consistency means of doing something, the attempt of doing something right every time. Because are you really going to do it right every time? No, you're not. But if your intentions are good and you give it the full effort that it desires and you're committed to what you do, you're going to yield results. So by me doing that, it yielded, you know, I saw the fruits of my labor every day, waking up, doing the right things, you know, not drinking, not smoking, not putting myself at risk when it comes to you know, just hanging out in the streets late when you're not supposed to be. I was like, I'm going to make a short-term sacrifice in my mind for the long-term gain.
Yeah.
And I can truly say, when people ask me, what is it like to play in the NFL? My response is, it was a childhood dream that came true. Hmm. And so when I, to tie it back full circle, some people dream of success while others wake up and work hard for it. And that's what I wanted to be known for.
15 years in the NFL is rare. What kept you safe during that time?
The grace of God kept me safe. And then the other thing is just not, you know, the negligence, just making sure attention to detail, staying ahead of stuff before it even happens. People were like, how did you stay healthy? Same thing you're asking me. It's like, well, if my muscles are sore, I'm not finna wait until I pull something to go in the training room. Like, I'm gonna go in there and get it handled right then. Or like, if you're in a relationship, like if you really want it to work, my opinion is, why wait until you get in an argument to go have counseling session? Like, have a coach to kind of coach you through it while you're going, before it even happens, so you know how to handle certain situations. That's no different than being in sport. So that's how I stayed safe, and I kept things down to a minimum.
Always being ahead of the curve.
Yeah, proactive.
You don't have to be reactive.
Yeah. If you live your life being reactive, I'll show you somebody who's barely making it. Just what I believe. Leadership.
What were some moments for you that you really had to take a big swing, not knowing if it was the right decision, just trusting your gut, that helped you to be where you are today?
It happened two times. First time, it was in high school. And we were middle school, I'm sorry. It happened in like middle school going to high school. And it was, I mean, it's all dumb, but like, this side of town don't like this side of town. He looked at me the wrong way. Man, let's go over here. We about to F him up. And I'm down until, like, I don't know, after taking like five steps and getting ready to go, it just something like spoke to me. Like the inside, I call it the Holy Spirit. But something spoke to me and said, man, don't do that. And I didn't go. And come to find out, the guys who did went. They got in an altercation, fighting, and all got locked up going to the YDC. And so that was, you know, it was like, man, your inner intuition is real. Then the second time, it was in high school.
And to follow it.
Like, by me following it, that came back around in high school. And guys like to drink, you know, guys like to smoke. You know, I drink now, but then I didn't. And it was just like, oh, let's smoke. You know, it's just, you want to have that rap. And I chose not to do it. And come back to school on Monday, the guys weren't there, got in trouble. And so from me listening to that, to me, that was a time to where, like, that was the correct pivot that I took. That kept me out of that. And it, more than anything, by me listening to it.
Yeah.
That changed the trajectory of like how I thought, why I do what I do. And all, it made me even trust in my inner self. Man, trust your gut. And that's exactly what happened. Straight up. And to this day, I still listen to that. And sometimes I've been sometimes that I ain't listening to it, but I get burned.
Yeah. Or it speaks loud enough to where you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Got it. What would you say your strong points are?
Being vocal and being vocal, calling people out. When I see BS, I call you out. Probably the strongest point is if I see you cutting corners, it's not about embarrassing you, because what it may take to motivate Lex may not it may not take the same thing to motivate Takeo. But the one thing in common that's universal, what you can always count on to get to somebody, is understand it's not what you say to them, it's how you say it. And I'm not going to talk to Lex through the media. I'm going to talk to you directly first. Now, if you still don't want to listen, now I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to put the microphone up and then see if that gets your attention. And I've always had success that way. And I think that's the reason why that respect comes, you know, when I meet people, because like, I can't lie to you, you know, and if I am going to have a relationship with you, like we got to be able to talk to each other. So understanding and knowing how to talk to somebody.
I will definitely co-sign that as one of your biggest qualities is your voice. We went to go play golf somewhere, South Georgia.
Yep.
And it's about 2-hour drive. We get there. I'm the only girl in the group. And you guys, they're like, okay, guys, this is the men's locker room. And, you know, y'all are about to walk over there. And then a gentleman shows me, all right, come with me down to the dungeon to the ladies' locker room. And you and David Leakes and the Gold Links crew were very vocal in that moment to say, she's not going to eat by herself.
Yeah.
We're going to sit outside. We're going to have dinner on the way back. And that's just what it's going to be. If one person can't have the same circumstance, then we're all going to move with them together. And so I can attest to your voice being even powerful in my life, even in that small moment.
And I thank you because it's the first time we're talking about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's real. Like it's...
We just got shrimp salads in the back of a van, which not the best.
It hit the spot. Considering after 5-6 hour day.
You went from NFL player, 15 years, Pro Bowl, to a photographer and journalist. What was that transition like? And how did you give yourself the permission to say yes to something different?
I still have a good friend. His name is D.L. Warfield, one of the best artists that I know. He made me realize, he was like, Spikes, you're artistic and you just don't want to accept it. And I was like, how do you know? So we would have conversations all the time. And my coffee table book right here, like this book right here, I talked about creating this years before I did it. And he always would tell me, well, you know, sometimes if you just start versus you trying to plan everything out, mm-hmm. it will happen. Like I told somebody else one day in that bus ride we had to go play golf in South Georgia. Anyway, I'm not going to hold on to that.
I wonder who that is.
Yeah, but he told me if you just start, everything else will work itself out. And so him making me realize I'm a creator, that's what I did. And so I was like, I'm going to put together a book sharing some of the greatest linebacker stories from different decades of how did they become great? What made them that outlier?
And you have a different perspective because you played and you are a great as well. You probably got insight that most people will never get in their entire lives because they would say yes to you.
Yeah, for real. And that was the special caveat. They gave me an opportunity to share this story and they all told me, job well done.
What's a big swing that you're taking right now in life?
A big swing really is working on my golf game.
Yeah.
And I really want to hit, I'm hovering around the upper 80s right now, like a 10 handicap. But I really want to get down to like a single digit.
I believe in that.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to get there. That's my big swing because I remember when I first played, I played in a pro-am, had no business playing that. My God.
Was that your first time playing?
First time.
No way.
This played with Bo Jackson, Hale Irwin. Man, that was the longest pro-am we played. Bo was like, just pick up and drop where I'm playing, where I'm hitting.
Which is such harsh words when you're in golf. Like, just pick it up. You're like.
Yeah. You feel defeated.
Defeated.
So that's my big swing. That's the big swing that I'm working on now. But all right, I give you one from the business side. My big swing is we got this nice show that's getting ready to come out that a lot of people are starting to hear about. It's on TNT. College football myself, Champ Bailey, Victor Cruz. And my putting it out there, the big swing is I told them I'm not showing up if their mindset is not winning an Emmy.
Okay. I believe in that.
Adam Lefko is the host. So, yes, we're all on the same page. And that's my big swing coming up for this year.
Coin that for the Emmys. We'll bring this back up.
Yes, indeed.
What's harder, golf or football?
I would say golf.
Golf? Okay.
Golf is the most precise sport. You don't have anybody else to blame. It's you and the ball. And the reason what makes golf the hardest sport is the only sport the ball isn't moving.
Yeah.
Make that make sense.
What's one thing that makes you smile no matter what situation you're in? It could be a memory. It could be a quote.
To see someone having success after me giving them guidance, advice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you're no longer behind the mask. So thanks so much for sharing all the goodness that you have and continuing to do that at College Game Days. Was it?
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I love it.
Auburn Tigers.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks so much for chatting.
I appreciate you. Good to see you.
You're listening to the SoPod Network, and this is Big Swings.